Good morning, everybody. Well, hello, everybody. Everybody doing well out there? I can tell from your conversations you're enjoying yourselves. Maybe we should go like theater mode where we flash the lights. Like, there you go. And everybody's like, oh, now we're focused in. Either that or somebody's having a seizure somewhere after those flashing lights. Well, good morning. Hey, I wanted to point out something that I was also reminded of, and I was thinking of last night as well. The History Channel is going to be doing a four-week series on the life of Jesus. Sometimes with a History Channel, you never really know what you're going to get, kind of like a box of chocolates. Somebody stay with me there. All right. But they did a great job. They did a Bible series, and they did a pretty good job with that. So, you know, check it out. Maybe have your Bible open and see as you're going along with it and be like, well, that wasn't quite right, but you know what? We'll see how it goes. But I'm definitely, it's on my DVR to record, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they present kind of the life of Jesus. Well, welcome everybody to this Sunday morning. This is our upper room service, and if you're new with us, our upper room service is just simply communion. That's all we're going to be taking part of in today, because the Lord's Supper is part of communion, it's part of our lives, and it's something that we are told to honor as a church. And we do something unique here at Faith Fellowship. We like to have our kids in the service with us during the upper room service. So if you've had kids, you're probably like, why would you ever want to have your kids in a service? Because they can be noisy, distracting, right? Yeah. You're like, no way. But we think it's an important thing. As we're going to look at this, part of my notes is going to be, look, we want to remember Christ, and if the kids need to learn what it means to remember the sacrifice of Christ, they need to understand this teaching and hear what we have for us from the Word today. So as part of that, we include them in our service, and sometimes this can go amazingly wonderful. Sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes I don't know what to describe it as. So kids, why don't you come on up on stage, and we have some fun. I won't want to say fun. I don't want to set the stage too high. But come on up, and we have some things to discuss. Look at this. At least one lady used the actual step. Here they come. All right, now here's one thing I always get complaints. I always get complaints from this side of the room saying the kids are always over here. So, kids, why don't we slide towards the middle? You don't even have shoes on. Where's your shoes? Your parents aren't even in here. All right. Are they at? Did they just drop you off and go out somewhere? Who did that? Oh, my goodness. We got some kid ditchers here. All right. Anyway, so we're talking, and if you were reading the church email, did anybody read the church email? You can admit if you didn't, it's okay. But we're talking about this idea of remembering. And remember, there was homework for this. So there's going to be a time where maybe you guys won't be on stage, but this microphone might work its way around the crowd and seeing how you remember God's working in your life. But I want to first hear, kids, As you look back on your long, 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 long life, your life full of joy and happiness, do you have a favorite vacation that you've enjoyed? Yes. Yeah, does anybody want to talk about their favorite vacation? This is the chance where you get to hold the microphone in church. I promise you might want to take advantage of it. Anybody? I can tell you. You want to share your favorite vacation? All right. You want to hold it?
I went to Disney with Gracie.
Oh.
And we got to share a room. And she was talking about James.
Well, probably need some context, I guess, on that. Grace is obsessed with James Gordon. Is it Gordon?
Corden.
Sorry. I'm not as obsessed with him, all right? So she talks about James a lot.
And at nighttime, she was talking to herself, and she threw a stuffed animal off the bed and said, I don't want this pig.
All right. See, this is what, I mean, we give the kids the microphones in church and we just aren't quite sure what we're going to get. So how do you remember, not just memories, but how else do you remember that trip? Are there other things that help you remember what that trip was like?
Yeah, we went in a pool because there was a pool in our backyard.
Yeah.
And nice. We got to swim in it at nighttime because it was still warm.
Cool. Do you have, like, pictures of your vacation?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you have any videos of vacation that help you remember?
I don't know.
Oh, no, no? Yeah. Oh. Well, pictures at least. All right, well, thank you. Everybody give it up. All right. Anybody else a favorite vacation? Addie, you have one? Shoeless Wonder? You got one? All right, here you go.
I went to Mexico.
Ooh. I got to be a part of these families. All right, go ahead. What did you enjoy about there?
I got to go in the pool.
Pool. Beginning to notice a trend of...
And I also got ice cream.
Whoa! Anybody else up for these vacations? All right. Anything else on that? Don't want to cut you off.
I also got pictures.
And pictures?
And one was a toucan sitting on my head.
A toucan sitting on your head. That is pretty impressive. Anybody else a favorite vacation? My kid, do you have any favorite vacations?
I like them all.
What?
I like them all.
You like them all? All right, I guess we can accept that answer.
Also,
how about top two?
The beach and...
Is that when we went to Ocean City in the cabin? That one?
Not Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach. Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Deep Creek.
Deep Creek, yeah. Deep Creek is a pretty awesome place to go. Anybody else? Any favorites? All right. Why don't you give the kids a round of applause? And you guys can go back. You've had your moment in the sun. You want to stay up here? I would guarantee you'd be the one to say that because your parents aren't even here. So what? I can't even know who to send you to. Here, go ahead. Oh, truth comes out. All right. Before you share any more family secrets, why don't you get off the stage before your parents regret leaving you here by themselves? All right. Well, yeah, we're focusing as they remember, and you know we all have memories. We all have moments that we look back on. As I talk about favorite vacations were probably going through your minds, of places that you love to visit, places you love to go back to, places that as you go through, anybody still have photo albums in their houses? I know that's becoming a rare thing these days. I know we don't even print out pictures anymore. If I lost my phone, I don't know, my life would just be over. There would be no memories like in my life at all. But remembering is a key theme throughout Scripture. And as we turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, we're going to think upon this theme of remembering. And as we do, I'm going to go ahead and open our time with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us today in this place to come and worship you on this day. A place where we can come, reflect on how our weeks have been going, where we can turn to your word, we can turn to praise and songs and worship you, Lord. Lord, now as we think about remembering the things that you have done in our lives, that it would turn our hearts to worship and praise and adoration of you, Lord. Be with us now, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we reflect upon this, first we look at the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there is major themes about this idea of remembering. Over and over, we see there told to remember the Sabbath, to keep it as a day that is holy and honoring to God. And we get the reasoning why. God spent 6 days creating all that we see, and on the seventh day, he rested. And they are told, this is a sign to you, a time of rest, a time to recuperate, a time to remember all that God has done in your life. Then the major theme, it's kind of all-encompassing. It's kind of the Passover, the story of the Exodus and the Red Sea over and over. They're told to look back on these things. And in Exodus 13, it says that Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Nothing to eat containing yeast will you have on this day. So as he is putting in place the Passover, he's reminding them to look back. He says, remember where you were. Remember where you were in slavery as you came out of that land. He says, know that I am with you as you look back on that. He says, as you celebrate the Passover, as you think about the 10 plagues and how you slaughtered and your firstborn was saved, and you think about how the firstborn in Egypt lost their lives, reflect on that. See how I have worked through your life. And as they're going through Joshua and Judges and the Kings and all these things, they're told to reflect, remember, 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 don't forget. And then we have the little story in Joshua 4 where they're actually told to make a memorial. Anybody been to any memorials? We're pretty close to D.C. And, you know, anybody go to D.C. a lot? No. I'll share this little story. As we were out in Iowa at Bible college, and people would find out that we lived in Maryland, they would always be like, wow, you're so close to D.C. You must always go there every weekend, see the memorials. I mean, you're so close. How could you not enjoy all that D.C. has to offer? And me and my friend would often and always respond with, no, actually, we don't go to D.C. all that often to reflect on all the great history that is there. So it was kind of interesting perspective when those who don't live close to D.C. and know how close we are, and they were always like, you must always be down there. And we're like, no, that's like an hour drive. Who wants to do that? That's so far away. But they have this idea here of making memorials, and this is when they're getting ready to cross into the promised land. And Joshua and the Lord are giving them instruction. They say, as you go across the Jordan, and again, as you walk across dry land, pick up 12 stones. And it says, as you go across, gather those stones, and when you reach the other sides, set those stones up as a memorial for future generations. And he says, look, as people pass by and as the kids in the church, as they pass by, he says, they're going to ask, what are those stones for? And he says, well, it's told to remember. To remember the presence of the Lord with you as you entered this promised land. To remember how the Lord brought you out of Egypt, how he brought you across the Red Sea, how you saw the 10 plagues, and how God has worked in your life. And see, in the Old Testament, they're told to remember. But we are our own lives, we remember as well. And that was the little challenge of the email that I put out this week to say, reflect on God. Reflect on how God, you've seen him work in your life, and let's have a time to share those things. And there's always great power that comes in testimonies, of testimonies of hearing how God works in our lives. And of course, I'll get us started, and the next picture is one of my remembrances that I had in that email, and it's a picture of our van. And if you remember, oh, perfect. Kenzie's not even in here right now, so you won't have to deal with this. I don't have a cold, but it seems like whenever I talk, it likes to develop. So just bear with me, because I'm fine the rest of the week. Maybe I just don't talk enough the rest of the week. But this is a picture of our van, and it was an accident that Christy suffered at the intersection of Joppa Road and Carlisle. And if you know there's, it's a four-way stop sign. And But Joppa Road is a pretty busy street. And sometimes if you're not paying attention, you're not even realizing, hey, there's a stop sign coming up. And that's what happened on this day as Christy had stopped and to proceed through the intersection to cross Joppa Road on her way home. There was a car that didn't see the stop sign. And the speed limit is, what, 30, 35, something on there on Joppa Road. And you can see direct contact to Kenzie's door. One of the most fearful things you can have as a parent, to be involved in an accident. And I got the phone call. I wasn't even there to experience, but Christy was driving. And you can see airbags deployed. You can see the windows, the front and the back window are together. The window's not there because it's shattered. And the contact right on Kenzie's door. And the first thing that Christy said was, Kenzie's okay. Not a scratch, not a bruise, nothing. And we can talk about seeing God work in our lives and providing protection. And you can maybe say, well, Seth, it was the airbags and it was the things that protected him. But I will tell you, it was God who designed the person who made those airbags. It was God who designed the person who did those things. And it was God who protected her in that accident. And as I reflect upon that and I think about that, that reminds me of God's work in our lives. It reminds me of how God is there by our sides. And then as I reflect upon my life even more, I think about seeing his hand as I worked with Youth for Christ out in Frederick County. We work, and if you're not familiar with Youth for Christ, it's basically like a missionary. You have to raise your support. And it's not an easy thing to do. Bills come in. Everything comes in. And I can say in the years that we worked for Youth for Christ, we never missed a bill in our personal lives. We never missed anything. We saw the Lord provide in amazing ways. If we were running short, a check would show up in the mail. There was one time when we first moved and we had to get Christy's car inspected. And it ended up that she needed like a lot of work done to get her car to meet Maryland's standards. We didn't really have the money to pay for this. And I think every time I tell the story, the bill gets larger. So I think it's only like maybe, Christy, if you had $100 or $1,000 bill. $1,000. We'll keep it there. I think one time I might have said a couple thousand just to. But it was like a $1,000 bill. And we go to pay the guy in the shop. And he says, don't worry about it. Somebody's already paid for it. And we were like, ha, that's amazing. When you see God work in your lives and you remember then who he is, it leads you to worship. And what I want to have is a time for us to share and discuss these moments in our lives. And I have some kind of early ones to lay a foundation to see if anybody is willing to share about this. So that this next picture might bring up some memories to some people here. And I want to say, does anybody want to explain what we're looking at here in this picture? Some people are like, I have no idea what that is. But does anybody have an idea of what is going on in this picture? It is. There we go. This is the Wall Coffee House. Who wants to share what the, and maybe stand up so everybody, and I have a microphone, but what was the Wall Coffee House? Anybody? Oh, Frank's.
It was a place to gather on
I'll throw you a mic.
Fridays, no. Get it. And people that went to church, didn't go to church, were tired of church, or were unchurched, would just come and hang out, listen to Christian music, hear a message, and eat. It was a great time to gather together. We had 200 to 300 people at that one, once or twice a month when we did it. So it was kind of the beginning of the church.
Yeah, so for you or those who were there, the Wall Coffee House, you have some remembrances of how God worked, of how God provided and how this would lay a foundation for what would become Faith Fellowship Church. Now, the next pictures play another role in Faith Fellowship Church. Anybody know what this is? Yes, this is this stage during construction of this church. Anybody want to explain that was here what was going on in these pictures? Go ahead, Judy. You want the mic or are you guys going to go ahead? Here, use the mic just to be safe. There you go.
So this building was purchased in faith because we didn't know how we would cover the mortgage or how we do church and all that sort of stuff. So when the stage was constructed, before the carpet was laid, there was a stage writing dedication sort of event. And you would get on stage, and what you see here are pictures of people praying for the future of the church and that everything that would be preached or said from this stage would be glorifying to God, and that would be the truth and Bible-based. And so underneath this are hundreds of verses written with Sharpie pens, of a lot of verses that people thought would be foundational for this church. So really we are building, we are standing on the Word of God up here.
So as we think about remembering, there we go, 2005, when they took pictures back then and printed them out. There you go. So back in 2005, so on this stage are hundreds of verses. And here's the coolest thing. As those people were praying on the stage, they were praying for you guys. The future of Faith Fellowship Church, people they had never even met yet, praying for the impact that this church would have on the community. So I share that because if you were around here in that time, every time you walk through those doors should be a remembrance of God's goodness. Of God's goodness of bringing you over from the middle school into this building, into purchasing a building that really, there was no business in trying to purchase such a building, but God provided in amazing ways. And God continues to provide. So every time you walk through those doors, it is a remembrance of the goodness of God. We got a few. If anybody has a personal remembrance that you would like to share, you can feel free. I've kind of now set the stage and primed the pump. If anybody would like to share anything of remembrance that they reflect on God working in their lives. You guys are all thinking, man, I wish we would ask the vacation question instead. It's okay if you don't want to. I'll just pick some. No, I'm not going to pick anybody. That won't be nice. But, oh, Alan's got one. Alan, do you want them? You would pick the last person in the row. You're going to talk loud enough, or I got to walk this all the way back there. Come on up. There you go. I'll let the person furthest away from me is going to raise his hand. Here you go.
First and foremost, that what I can remember most is God's unending quest after each and every one of us who belong to him. So salvation. So when he called me to himself, it was when I was 17, and the first time was like my best friend who had been through it a lot, and only God could bring him and his family to saving knowledge of him. And he sat down lovingly but clearly with his Bible open in his room, explained the gospel. And at that point, I had no choice but just to surrender to Christ. But he kept after me. I'm so thankful. I remember the people he kept sending after me, loved ones and people like second family members. I remember that. And then by his grace, he gave me a family to trust. And all of you, the body of Christ throughout the world, as I just remember to see his mercies every day in that. And that's for job. I just remember that he sustains me in that. And I thank him for that.
Thank you. So, yeah, we think about this remembering, and as we turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, remember, as I spoke last week, I kind of covered a very large section of Scripture, which always kind of makes it tough to preach on when you're preaching over six chapters of things. But remember, the idea was that they had forgotten really the gospel. They had forgotten what God had done for them, and over, Paul's reminding them, this is what the gospel is. This is who you are in the gospel. Remember, he closed out those first six chapters with the words, "Do you not know that your body is our temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." They had gone through all these things, and they had been dishonoring God with their bodies. They had been dishonoring the remembrance of who Jesus is and what he had done for them. So then in chapter 7, remember, there was a lot of communication going back and forth between Paul and his church because of their issues. And in chapter 7, in verse 1, it says, "Now for the matters you wrote about." See, this church had a few questions for Paul that they were wondering, how was worship to be? What is this thing, spiritual gifts? What are all these things? And Paul's addressing now questions that they wrote to him. And it's in this section that we get Paul's teaching on the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 17, he's going to lay out that there are, again, these issues being raised among this church. Now, in this idea of worship and the Lord's Supper, he opens up and he says this. He says, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you." He is saying, what you guys are doing is not right. He says, your meetings do more harm than good. And man, I hope our gatherings on Sunday mornings are not doing more harm to your spiritual walk than good. We want to be a place where you are growing in your faith, where you are remembering Christ. So he goes through this thing again. He brings it up. There's divisions. He says, some of you come to this table and you're hungry, so you eat all the bread. Now we know when we're about to take the Lord's Supper, you get a little piece of a cracker. Here they're kind of eating it and saying, you know what, I'm hungry, I'm going to take the whole tray. So when the whole tray gets passed around, don't take the whole tray of crackers. He says, then some of you are going ahead and even getting drunk off the wine from the Lord's Supper. He says, you guys just aren't getting it. He says, you don't understand what Jesus put into place on the night he was betrayed. And all that comes up to the next set of verses, which is the same set of verses that we read for communion. Follow along, and it says this, starting in verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." He's going to tell them now what this Lord's Supper is. It says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" This isn't a table that we just come to because it's the thing we do on Sunday mornings. This is a table that we come to reflect and to remember what Christ did. That he went to the cross for our sins. That he died for our sins. And that he rose again after. Paul is telling us that this is a moment of serious reflection, a time to think about the sins in your lives. And in the worship team, you can begin to make your way up here as we prepare for our time of communion. And see, what I think happens is often we forget what the cross sometimes means, I think. And here's what I mean by that. Often as Christians, we begin to compare ourselves to others, right? We say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. But what that does, it tells us that, well, I don't need as much Jesus. If my sins aren't that bad, then how much forgiveness do I really need? But what Scripture tells us is that all sin is evil. It is within our natures to turn away from God, to reject Him, to live a life of sin. And if you're comparing yourself to others, well, then you're missing the point. You're missing what our sins are. And as we come to this table, you're missing the forgiveness that comes in Jesus Christ. Our sins pull us away from God. And much like the 1 Corinthians, how they forget, they turn to the things of this world, they turn to their divisions, they turn to everything but Christ. And over, Paul says, remember the gospel. Remember Jesus. And that's where he says, remember that you were bought with a price. And that price is the blood of Jesus Christ that covers our sin. And if you don't have a relationship with Christ, if you don't understand what we're talking about here, I'll tell you this. You are a sinner. You are broken. And the punishment for that sin is eternal death in hell. And it is not a popular thing to say these days, but that is the reality. But God sent His Son to this earth to die on a cross, for His body to be broken, for His blood to be spilled on that cross. And Jesus says, come. He says, I am calling you to myself. Find forgiveness that comes on that cross. And once you have that forgiveness, you have new life. Doesn't mean your sin goes away. We are still sinners, but we are forgiven in God's grace. And it's because of God's grace then that we live a life that honors Him. And that is Paul's message to the Corinthians. You were bought with a price. Honor God. Live for Him. I ask now that you would spend a moment in prayer and reflection as you think about what it means to come to this table. And then we're going to read our passages and we're going to pass the plate. Ushers, you can come forward at this time.